Welcome to Wisdom Trek with Gramps. Wisdom is the final frontier in gaining true knowledge. Our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. This is Gramps. Thanks for coming along on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Today is day 1549 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize some sort of structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing our series this week on Meditation Monday as we focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from the Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our current insights are focusing on the accuracy of interpreting the Bible. Today, let's meditate on Bible study, the details and context of Bible interpretation. Insight number 49, level of detail is not a key to Bible interpretation. I'll have to explain this one, and it's a pet peeve of mine. The level of detail approach to interpretation is something that careless Bible teachers and even scholars use to justify certain literal interpretations of prophecy, whatever literal means. The more detailed the Old Testament prophecy, so we are told, the more it demands a literal fulfillment in the end times. Really, let's think about that logic. The more detail in prophecy equals literal interpretation. If so, what does it mean for prophecies that have less detail? Should we presume the fulfillment is not literal? The truth is that the amount of words or the length of the prophecy is no indication on how it should be interpreted. For example, the prophecy Ezekiel uses 9 chapters, which are chapters 40 through 48, to envision the future, the idealized temple that would replace a recently destroyed Jerusalem temple. The densely detailed description is often used to justify the interpretation that the visions requires literal fulfillment, that Ezekiel's vision is the blueprint for a structure that will someday be built in Jerusalem. Other interpreters point out that the level of detail omits items that are crucial to a functioning temple. The prophecy is almost entirely devoid of height dimensions and odd omission if these were building plans. Essential furnishings found in the earlier temple and the tabernacle, such as the Ark of the Covenant, the golden lampstands, are missing in Ezekiel's description. There are no lavers for the priests to wash themselves. There is no wall around the inner court and no roof on any part of the envisioned temple, which are both essential to preserve the sanctity of a sacred space. While 9 chapters offer a significant amount of detail, these omissions would produce an incomplete non-functional building. Detail alone cannot justify literal interpretation. Alternatively, prophecies with little more than one line were certainly envisioned as literal events. But that often didn't matter. They were still difficult. Even after the resurrection, the disciples had trouble processing what had just happened and what it meant. The risen Lord had to open their minds to understand the scriptures, Luke chapter 24, verse 45. The Gospels were written in hindsight, and only in hindsight could the disciples discern the importance of the prophecies like Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, which is found in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. Or Psalm chapter 41, verse 9, my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. And that can be found in John chapter 13, verse 38. Then Psalm 87, verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable, which is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. The point is, the level of detail isn't a method for interpreting Bible prophecy. This is especially true when the New Testament itself gives us an interpretation. At times, these New Testament interpretations defy any sort of literalism. Prophecy gets fulfilled in a variety of ways, but that's for another day. Let's move on to insight number 50. the proper context for interpreting the Bible is the context that produced the Bible. We often hear the mantra, interpret the Bible in context, but what that means can easily be misunderstood. Positively, there is more than one context needs consideration for Bible interpretation. But the negative aspects of context is also essential. By negative, I mean interpreting the Bible through the lens and context alien to the biblical writers. Biblical theology must derive from biblical text. That makes getting the whole context seen right. The context for correctly understanding the Bible is not the early church fathers, the writers like Augustine, Irenaeus, or Tertullian. It's not the Catholic Church, despite the brilliance of the theologians like Aquinas. It is not the Reformation thought, the works of Luther, Calvin, and Zwingli. It is not the Puritans, the Wesley brothers, or the famous Princeton theologians like Warfield, Machen, and Wilson. It is not evangelicalism. The proper context for interpreting the Bible is the context that it produced it. Every other context is a foreign context. While this may seem obvious, it is frequently not observed in real life. That is, an authentic Bible interpretation, preaching, and teaching. Filtering the Bible through writers, creeds, and confessions happen every day. It is the biblical text that's inspired, not these other leaders and their writings. If we fail to observe this truth, we'll end up in interpretive places that inspired Bibles of the writer never intended. This is not to say that historic Christianity got everything wrong. That would be a silly exaggeration. My point is one of priority and perspective. The Bible interpretation that arose after the biblical period must take a backseat to the Bible itself. We must allow the world in which the biblical writers lived, their intellectual and cultural circumstances, to inform us about what the biblical authors wrote, how they wrote it, and why they wrote it. Only then will you be able to see the Bible as the original audience saw it. Only then can we avoid imposing foreign context on our Bible interpretation. And let's close today with Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And that's a wrap for today's meditation. Next week we will continue our trek on meditation as we take time in Bible study to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life. Encourage your friends and family to join us and come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,548 daily treks or read the daily journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. As we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.